10 verses 24, 25, and 26 together. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Then it was the 24 and 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. For the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. 5, verse 24, we're saved. Now, remember last Thursday, Pastor Dan went over verse 23, talked about the adoption. He asked me what that means. Well, that's huiothesia. That's huiothesia, son, and thesia to place. Son placement, full mature placement of sons before the throne. And as it says, the redemption of the body, that will take place when the body is revealed. I think in verse 24, we are saved. I think it's talking about this future final redemption of our body. And how are we saved? What is there about that saved that assures us in verse 24? Yes, what assures us of that redemption of our bodies? According to verse 24. What is it, how does it say we're saved?
By hope.
By hope. And what did we say about that Greek word, elpis?
Something future yet certain.
Yes, something future and yet certain. That's that meaning, that word elpis, the Greek word for hope. It's future. We're finally saved, our redemption of our body. Our bodies will be redeemed at the rapture of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's by hope, future but secure and sure. What about hope in the last part of that verse, or the middle part of that verse? What is the distinction between hope and sight? That's right. If you can see it, why do you hope for it? That's right. What a man seeth, why do you hope for it? Yes. No, I think what it says that we're saved is by something future, yet it's absolutely certain. No question about it. And the redemption of the body will be future. It'll be certain that we'll have redeemed bodies at the rapture. Lord Jesus will take our mortal bodies and make them immortal. If we're died, if we're dead, a corruptible body, incorruptible. And saved by hope. Our salvation is completed, and we hope for something future. Can you give an illustration of hope and sight?
Well, if you're looking to buy a car, and you're hoping for a nice car, but you don't know until you actually have it. And when you see, when you've seen it, when you bought it, when it's in your possession, you're driving it, then that's certain. But all the time when you're going around looking at them, you're just hoping
something future, isn't it?
It's
and not always certain,
not
that's the way we do it today. That's
not
right.
An eternal thing.
Yes, but this thing here, this future is certain, as it word helps me. So, if you see, yeah, Anna.
Thing also tenses, if someone hopes they won't finish their paper in time, versus actually seeing that they have completed their paper in time.
There's a man, I don't remember his name, whether it was a salesman years ago, maybe you're familiar with him, and he knocked on the door.
I hope nobody's home.
I hope, hope, hope. Now, I don't know what that salesman's name was. It's been a number of, us old timers remember. Do you remember that?
I don't remember his name.
But you remember he was knocking.
Yeah.
Why did he hope nobody's home? Is that one of the qualifications of a salesman? I don't want to talk to anybody.
I don't think so.
Now, Mom's dad was an excellent salesman. Stanley Home Products. He worked his way up. This was door-to-door salesman up to in charge of all these different people working in. But hope is important, and once we receive that, the redemption of our body, we don't have to hope anymore. It's accomplished, it is ours, no question about it. When does salvation begin for genuinely saved people? When does salvation begin for genuinely saved people?
When we're saved.
When we're saved. Do you have any verses to show that? How about John 3:16? Let's say that one again. For God so loved the world, and he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. What tense does the word have?
Present.
Present tense, right now. For God. Other verses, many other verses, but it's a wonderful thing to have right now.
They might have it more abundantly.
Yeah, that's another good verse. What's that reference?
John 10:10.
John 10:10, that's right. So then in verse 25, what is true if we hope for things in the future? What should be true? Not always true. When we hope for things in the future, what should be true?
With patience.
That's right. We hope for that, we see now, then we do with patience wait for it. Is it easy or difficult sometimes to be patient?
It
would be very difficult for that patient waiting for that which we hope for. And
sometimes you think someone's going to come. You've invited them, you think they're going to come, and you hope they'll come. You prepare for them, make food for them, you prepare everything for them. Sometimes they come and sometimes they don't.
That's right. And they become hopeless. After that, they don't come. That's right, it is sad.
Because sometimes children don't come home to see their parents.
Yes.
They keep hoping they'll come.
And
grandma would wait. They would sit on their front porch
waiting for their children to come and visit them. That's right, they were. The old time front porch situation. Right. That's right. Now, the waiting for the rapture.
Was your father's parents?
That's father's parents, that's right. Stanley and
Libby
Waite. Grandpa Stan, Grandma Libby, yeah.
They had a really nice house.
Very nice brick home in Larry, Ohio.
Spotless.
Yep. On East Bridge Street, I believe, wasn't it? East Bridge Street.
They had a garden.
Yep. And she would make pies when we went there. Yeah. And one time, Grandpa Sanborn would. He would. What do you call that?
Ice cream.
No, he would stir maple syrup. Stir that thing up and start with maple sugar. You'd eat that syrup. Remember that, honey?
Well, I wasn't part of that when you were younger.
Oh, you weren't there. Okay, but I know. Of course, it's bad for you to eat all that sugar. It's horrible.
Did he use the sap on the trees?
I don't know.
He got fresh maple syrup.
Probably got maple syrup, and they just heated it up and then stirred it, and just turned it.
I'm sure it was better for you than the hydrogenated corn syrup.
Probably so. And then we ate that thing. It's just delicious.
That's when you were a boy.
I was a little boy. How old was it?
I don't know, before we were married, I guess.
Okay.
I would hope you weren't married when you were too young.
No,
he wanted you to come back.
You want to say, right, boy, I want to go next to Grandpa Wade.
Did you tell him how he used to pick you up in his rumble seat?
Yes, he used to take me to grade school, not grade school, elementary school, little baby. When I went to Elyria, I was in Elyria until I was about first grade. Went to kindergarten and first grade. He would put us in a rumble seat and drive us there, take us back. Very nice, Grandpa.
You and Dottie.
Yeah, Aunt Dottie was also there with us. And so we enjoyed Elyria for one. I noticed my grade in effort. They used to have in the grades that we had there, they had a grade for effort. That's what I received in that effort in my first grade.
Probably
an
E.
E.
Forever.
I don't know why, but apparently I didn't care. I was just a young boy.
Well, but you did that. You did
care. Well, I thought it was for effort.
Yeah, but I got a red E.
Effort.
A red E, which is the lowest phrase you can get.
Oh, I thought E was for effort. And then I have an N for effort.
No, I got it. In the grade, in the subject, I don't know why they had a subject called effort. They had it for math and reading and for other things. But, so I don't know why. I just didn't care. Apparently. I was a little boy that...
I was looking for that maple sugar.
I guess that's what I was looking for. And after class, a boy would beat me up between going to school back home. He'd beat me up.
Well, no wonder you didn't like the school.
Yeah, that's right. I think his name was Tom Minchenberg. Can you imagine? I remember that name all year.
School bully, huh?
Yeah, school bully. And anyway.
He beat you up every time?
Well, quite often. I just remember it, so I know I just would run away as soon as the school was out. But after the first grade, then my dad moved from Elyria to Berea, and then went to Berea High School.
Did you ever tell anybody that this boy was beating you up?
Probably. And then my little friend, Donnie Pember, Don Pember, who lived right the same side of the street as I did, sometimes he'd beat up Don Pember, too. So the two of us were... What a monster he was. Tom Minchenberg.
Right. Was he your age?
The same age. He was in the first grade, just the same as we were, but he was bigger than we were. I don't know. So anyways, how did we get on that subject?
I'm not sure. I know. Well, sure.
I mean, for now,
well, because if hoping children would come home.
Yes.
You're sitting on the porch.
Now, the Lord says we're going to come back in the rapture, take all the saved, genuine Christians home to heaven, transform our bodies. But we don't know when that's going to be. Am I right? But okay. Should we not have patience for that? It's something, it's called the blessed what? It's the blessed hope. But then the glorious appearing when he comes back to this earth with the blessed hope of our Savior, we've got to with patience wait to promise to all people of the Christian faith believe there's a rapture? No, they do not. They believe this. In fact, some people don't even believe there's anything that has to do with that. But we believe the scriptures are very clear that one day he will take us home and we have to have patience waiting for it. Then in verse 26, something about the Holy Spirit. What is true of the Holy Spirit in verse 26?
He helps us.
Helps what?
Helps.
Let's see, who's the I refer back to?
The Christian
believers in Rome, and by application to us. What is an infirmity?
Weakness.
Something wrong.
Something wrong, weakness. It could be a broken tooth, it could be a broken arm or leg, it could be pain. Could be eye problems, hearing problems, lots of them. Now, the Spirit helps our, referring back to this group of people, Christian believers in Rome and by application to us. For now, what does it say about us and our knowledge or lack of it in verse 26?
We don't know what we're supposed to
pray. Don't know what we're supposed to pray for. Now, some of the things in Scripture, it tells us certain things, whether pray with understanding in certain areas, but some things we just don't know. Are all the things we're to pray for necessarily written down verse by verse in Scripture?
No,
there's lots of things that are unknown. We don't know what to pray. So what happens, what is true in verse 26 that helps us?
The Spirit makes intercession.
The Holy Spirit makes intercession. What is intercession? How would you define it?
He intercedes for us. He pleads for us.
Pleads for us and intercedes just like a lawyer. Preach for the person at the witness stand before the judge. Yeah, huh?
Sometimes in our lives we have a burden so great we can't even express what it is.
That's right.
It's just really, and all you can do is really just cry and groan like by yourself.
That's right.
And I always think, well, when that happens to you, that the Lord's, he's interpreting my heart needs.
Yes, the Lord is able.
Can't even speak.
What attribute of the Lord makes it possible for him? Omniscience. All-knowingness. Absolutely all-knowing.
The Holy Spirit.
Now, what do some people criticize in verse 26 about our King James Bible?
Itself.
All right, so. Is that an excellent translation?
Yes.
Yes. Why is it an excellent translation?
It's very bitter.
Spirit is neuter. What is the Greek word for spirit?
Pneuma.
Pneuma. All right, pneuma. And itself. So it's incorrect. Now, later on, we'll see the personality of the Holy Spirit is mentioned a couple verses down. Honey, yes, Bob?
Well, spirit's not neuter.
Yes, it is.
The
word topnama. See, topnama is a neuter word in the Greek language. See.
Okay, and so that's why
it's perfectly excellent translation.
Okay. How people? 16.
Well, who would think it wasn't?
Like in verse 16, that's right. Pardon me.
Who would think it wasn't a good translation?
Well, the people that are against the King James Bible, they just rip it and spread it.
He's a he.
Should say he, so I get past it.
In my Bible people.
Yeah, modern Bible, all the modern versions. See, they have, yeah, have it.
It's like, there's a mountain of problems with the modern versions and the correct text. And there's maybe a few things that you could debate that the King James translators could have done differently. That's and they're looking at those few little things and ignoring the big mountain.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like the thing in the eye. Remember the speck versus the beam the builders built?
I think a lot of the people who support the modern Bibles, they rely on the ignorance of people not knowing what's right and what's wrong, what's correct and what isn't. As far as grammar goes, I don't understand that very well. I never really learned that.
Mm-hmm.
So I could be fooled very easily into thinking, well, that's a bad translation.
Not too good on grammar?
No.
How are you on grammar? That's good. Now, you're right.
A lot of us are ignorant.
That's true.
Of these things.
And these criticisms, another one, of course, is...
And they do that deliberately, knowing that we are ignorant of those things. So they're preying on our weakness.
That's right.
What does that say? Ignorant of his devices like that.
We're not ignorant of his devices. It's Satan's devices. Well, look at verse 27 and see if the Holy Spirit is a person here. Where does it say? Is he a person here?
It says he.
He. See, now, they should see us. There's no spirit or neuter that goes with, but he, makes it, etc. He's a person, and the King James Bible is faithful to the text of Scripture.
If itself is the right thing, the spirit is neuter,
yes.
Then why is it he?
Because he doesn't have to refer to the Spirit in this verse here.
Well, what here. Does he refer to?
Well, it's a pronoun, and he searches the hearts.
Well,
it all stands alone. There's no relationship to the Spirit. But if you say the Spirit itself, the Spirit himself, see, himself or itself modifies Spirit. It's an adjective.
What?
Spirit itself, the Spirit himself. Sort of like an adjective.
Spanish,
I don't see any himself.
They're just the same always.
Yes.
They don't take a masculine, feminine, or neuter.
Mm-hmm.
The Spirit
itself. Right? Yes, yeah, Sui Spirit. Spirit. Yes, you're Spirit. Sui Spirit, I like you, right? But the subject, itself, I'm not sure. I think you're right on that. It's not a gender as far as itself or himself or herself. That's the thing about that. I know that Al is he, I is she, and Al-Yo is it, but the itself.
You have feminine, pencil and a pen.
Yeah, la pluma.
You have a masculine and a feminine.
Yes.
But I don't think is there any neuter objects? Is that what you're trying to say?
Well, no, but the reference is like the adjectival. If it said the pen itself, or the something else that starts with pluma, the pluma. I'm not sure. I have to check on that. We'll look at that.
Pen is feminine, and pencil is masculine, right?
Well, but sometimes pen can be masculine.
Yeah,
pencil is la pluma.
That's right.
I don't know.
Yes, yeah, you're right. Pen is la pluma, and lapis is the pencil.
Right.
Yeah?
Sometimes a pen can be called el bolígrafo.
El bolígrafo? What is that?
Bolígrafo.
Bolígrafo.
Yeah.
Well, your phone, okay, that's a big one.
Oh, never mind.
That must be it.
No, I confused everyone.
That must be one thing. He was up there, Rutgers. That big word. All right. So, in verse 26, the Spirit of God helps our infirmity. We are referring to the believers. Don't know what to pray for. We just don't know sometimes. What is true? In verse 26.
He searches the hearts.
He searches the hearts.
So he's searching the hearts of the believers.
All right. Now, did we read? Did it come to 27 yet? Or?
Yes, we're talking about
we skipped over to get the key. I think 26. I don't think we. What about 26? What does the Holy Spirit do for genuinely saved people here? It's Pastor Dan.
Makes intercession.
Intercession. And we talked about that. Interceding for us. Speaking up for us, like the with groanings.
That's interesting. That's sometimes it says that the Lord Jesus Christ groaned.
Yes,
it does. And so the Spirit's meaning groanings.
Now, what does it mean? Normally, it says this is what kind of groanings are these? Normally, don't you think of groanings as something that is uttered?
It's just a noise.
So, that's then.
Is it the Spirit that's making the groanings?
It sounds like it, doesn't it?
I thought we were making it.
Because He maketh the intercession. This is it for us with groanings. Sounds like it's the Holy Spirit. What do you think? Do you think it's us?
I think we're groaning.
No, I think he's groaning.
I think it's the Holy Spirit.
But he's doing the more effectual groaning.
I mean, he had inward groaning, but he's also interceding. Just like the Lord Jesus, it was an inward groaning.
26.
Yes. But 26, groanings which cannot be uttered. In other words, it seems like it's the Holy Spirit. But normally you think of groaning.
The Holy Spirit's working through us. So I guess we're groaning in this.
And He's making intercession for us. Get back to that.
That's how He makes the intercession for us.
Yes.
Well, how I always understand.
That's how He helps our infirmities.
That's right.
We groan and we say we can't even announce it.
Who is it? Earlier in the verses, it says, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought.
Right.
But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered.
The Spirit prays through us.
No. We pray to the Lord, and the Holy Spirit leads us and intercedes for us with groanings unutterable.
Christ intercedes for us.
He intercedes also, that's right. We have the Lord Jesus at the Father's right hand, making intercession for the saints as well. Here's the Holy Spirit makes intercession. Now, what in the Roman Catholic Church do they say about intercession? Who's interceding in Rome, in Roman Catholicism?
The saints.
Quote, the saints, that's it.
The dead saints, that's right.
Mary is the
mediator. Is that true or false? Is that possible or not?
It's false.
Huh?
The groaning thing, this is how I understand this. It's like sometimes you're so burdened, something so burdens you and you're so upset, you fall down on your knees by your bed and you groan. You just, oh Lord, you can't even say what's the matter. And the Spirit of God prays and makes sense of our prayers before.
Well, that may be true, but the He.
That's how I go.
I know, but if you say the word He, maybe it says, according to the will of God, with groanings. See, the Spirit makes intercession.
Well, yeah,
not
it's
us.
The Holy Spirit that's making us groan.
No, for the Spirit makes intercession with groanings. It's the Spirit with groanings. It can't
right.
be us, not our groanings. So see what the big master has here. The hello?
Yes. I just wanted to say, this is Dale.
Yeah, Dale, how are you doing? From Texas, right ahead.
I'm doing fairly good. I just wanted to say hi and to everybody and to tell you we're enjoying the Bible study.
Great. Let's wait for Dale and Jacob.
Thank
you very much. From Texas. Amen. All right, did we establish that firmly?
I don't think it's very
much. That in verse 26, the Spirit makes intercession with groanings. It's the Spirit with groanings. Is that us?
It's the Spirit groaning through us.
No, you can.
Good, Pastor Dan. Then I have 10 times. Okay.
We know if our earthly house or this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God. A house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so, being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For then this tabernacle to groan for the burden, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up in life.
That's a clear-cut case of we groaning.
So here's the Holy Spirit. 4.
Yes, and
sometimes we just don't know how to pray for someone effectively,
right.
or pray about something effectively, mm-hmm. and we don't know what we're supposed to be
right.
praying.
Right.
And I think that's what it's saying. It's not. I don't think it's always because of we're emotionally overwrought. We just don't know. We just don't know. So, and that's what it's saying.
Mm-hmm.
It says we know not what we should pray
mm-hmm.
as we ought.
But the Spirit makes groanings and intercession with groanings which come against. It's always the Spirit of God at the end of that verse 26, nothing to do with us. It's groaning for us, that us to build.
We may have something that's bothering us that we feel inside, and if we try to explain it in words so that we can use it in prayer, we may not be targeting everything that is there. You know, we may not be able to identify, conceptually anyway, what it is that's on our hearts. The Spirit knows.
That's right.
The Spirit understands, and it intercedes for us.
Mm-hmm. He intercedes for good believers, saved believers. That's 24, 5, and 6. Let's read 27, 28, and 29 together. And he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Point 27. He that searcheth the hearts. Who is that he referred to there?
The Holy Spirit.
Is it? He knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. So who would that he be? He knows what is the mind of the Spirit.
Probably
God the Father. Yes. He that searches the hearts. What attribute of God enables him to do that? After that.
Where would be God the Son? So later on it says, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God.
Mm-hmm. So, could be the Son then. He, the church is like, all right, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. Because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the word of God. So, that could be the Lord Jesus Christ, or it could be in verse 26, the Holy Spirit makes intercession. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Could be either one, I guess. But he knows the intercession, he knows our missions, what is the mind of the Spirit. And then, verse 28, we've many have memorized that for many years. Anna.
Verse 28 isn't it? It's beautiful how, like, he that searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, that he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God, like how the Trinity is so united. Well, I guess it's a tri-unity, but
mm-hmm.
it's just beautiful when the passages talk about it.
Yes, it is. Father, Son, Holy Spirit working together according to the will of God. Then we read 28, did we not?
Yes.
That's one that many of us have memorized. What assurance is this in this verse? Things working together.
When we're in suffering trials.
And what sort of assurance? Is that just a possibility?
No, it's definitely all things work together.
Yes. What's the word that gives definition there?
Together.
What else? What else gives assurance here?
Let me turn it up here a second.
Okay, Jim.
Hi, Jim.
Go ahead.
Hey, Pastor Wade.
Yes.
How you doing? Good. Glad you're back, safe and sound.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. That's good. All by himself, no extra people. That's right,
yeah.
Jim. Good.
Yeah, we know he's a he. We know he's a he in person.
Right.
But he makes dreams all by himself. So
yes.
He's doing it with himself. I take it as all by himself.
That's very good. Let's wave to Jim in Massachusetts. Jim Canada. Thank you, Jim. Appreciate that. Others that have comments, questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call or give us an email. That's fine. So what is the word that gives assurance here? What other word in addition to what you said, the time you said? What verb gives assurance that these things are true?
Works.
What is it?
Works.
Work? No. What else might it be?
We know.
We know. What does know mean?
It's assurance.
It's assurance. Sure, we know. Does everyone know truth? Does everyone know truth?
Mm-mm.
No, a lot of people can't tell the difference between truth and error. But we, what's the we referred to there, believers? The we? Who's that?
Christians.
Christians are wrong, and by application to us. Now, notice how many things work together for good, according to this verse.
All things.
Does that include bad things as well as good things?
Mm-hmm.
It includes everything.
That's
not
its most valuable.
Now, what is the value of bad things? And what is the value of good things?
God uses them to teach us things and to refine us. And
refine us, that's right.
Refine our faith.
Refine our faith and refine us. But what is the if clause here? That what is the restraint? What is the thing that distinguishes them? What kind of them are things working together? We know for good.
And the love God.
Who would that include?
Born again Christians.
Born again Christians. Genuine Christians. That love God. And what is true of those that love God? In this verse.
Call.
According to his purpose. Have they accepted his call?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they've accepted his call. Many are called, few are chosen, it says there. Many have called. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. That's a call, isn't it? That's a call. And if you accept that call according to his purpose, you accept the call, you agree. And come unto the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Did we stop at 28 when we read? I guess we didn't.
We read 29.
Oh, we read 29? I'm not sure. Let me see. 24, 5, and 6, 7, 8, 9. You're right. For whom he did foreknow. What does foreknow mean?
Know ahead of time.
He also did what?
Predestinate.
What does predestinate mean? Predestinate. What does destinate mean?
Predetermined.
Determined. I predetermined, that's right.
I'm looking at
predetermined. And what is the definition? Not according to the Presbyterian situation, the hyper-Calvinist dispensation, how do they term predestination? What is their definition?
There's elect and
pardon me?
Only the elect are saved.
All right. And what is, how do they term predestination? What do they say predestination is? How would they define it? Yes, Bill.
They choose. They say that God chooses some people to become predestined to become saints,
mm-hmm.
and others he does not choose
mm-hmm.
at all.
In fact, the hyper-hypers say they predestined some to go to hell. Some of the more moderate Calvin, they don't say just predestined someone to go to hell, he just lets them, the other one let them go. Some say he predestined both ways.
God designed hell for Satan
yes.
and his demons.
The devil and his angels. That's right. Now, according to the biblical definition of predestination, what is the definition in this verse? And that's the only definition I believe in Scripture that's right. What does it say here? Defining.
It's the only time it's used.
Well, I believe it's the only time it's defined. It may be used. So I'm not sure about how long it's used, but it's defined in verse 29 as what? What is it? How is it defined in this verse?
The age to be conformed.
To be conformed to the image of His Son. Is that true of every born-again Christian or just a few?
Everyone.
Now, God predestined everyone that's genuinely saved will be one day conformed to His image, the image of His Son. Now, that's a good definition of predestination, isn't it? The ones that are saved, the ones that He's called, what is He for them?
It's predetermined that they're going to be conformed to the image of
Him. That's right. So, anybody that's saved, the end goal of that salvation is conformity to the image of God's Son.
As opposed to predetermined to be saved.
That's exactly right. It's nothing to do with salvation. Mm-hmm. It's predestination. And that's what I like to say when predestination people for salvation talk about it. I like to say, let's go to the scripture, see how God defines it. It's very clear. And what is the purpose that, or what is true when he confirms the saved people of the image of the Son in verse 29? What is true? What is the result of that? Who is the he referred to there?
The Lord Jesus Christ.
What is true if that's were conformed to the image of the Son, every saved born again Christian?
He was the firstborn.
He's the firstborn.
Among many brothers. We're going to be born as well.
Many, many brothers. Yeah, Anna? What's that?
The donuts.
The donuts are talking, all right.
We're falling. Ephesians 1, verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will.
Mm-hmm.
And then in verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will.
Yes, good. Two more verses that have the word predestined. Yes,
that verse 1-5 goes back to the verse 23, mm-hmm. the adoption.
Uh-huh.
The adoption. That's something that is yet to happen in heaven.
That's right, because we're fully completed, full sons. We really mature sons of God. Mm-hmm. Good, that's good. All right, we'll stop right here. Any other comments or questions on these verses here? Stop at verse 29. Take up, Lord willing.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 30. But if not, then let's close in a word of prayer. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for these verses. We thank you that power to God that has given us the Holy Spirit, those of us who are genuinely saved, that he helps our infirmities, our weaknesses, our frailties, and helps us to pray, making intercession for us. We thank you for all these things that the Holy Spirit does for us. We thank you for the Lord Jesus, died for our sins on the cross, that we by faith in him might have everlasting life. Be with us and help us with the things future that thou hast promised us, the rapture, heaven, all these things. Help us to be patient for that to take place. Never to doubt it, always realize it will happen. Thou hast told us in thy word that thou dost not make any mistakes, never lies, never makes errors. So give us that hope and patience to wait for what thou hast promised will take place. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen.
Thank you.